Welcome, viewers. I am Lisa Lupo, the Director of Communications for the Atchison Group, TAG. I am here today on TAG Talks videos with TAG Senior Director of Regulatory and Scientific Affairs, Dr. Ben Miller. Today we are discussing why businesses need to be developing post-COVID infectious disease plans, particularly those who have facilities in New York State. Good afternoon, Ben.
Hi, Lisa.
So with COVID-19 continuing to draw down, TAG is emphasizing the need for businesses to have an infectious disease plan. Why is this important?
Yeah, great question, Lisa. You know, over the last year and a half, obviously we've learned a lot about the way that COVID spreads. You know, initially we thought that transmission was through fomite surfaces. You know, the science and epidemiology has really shifted to airborne transmission. And so we're seeing a lot of states have requirements for COVID plans in place, but we're seeing states, some states like New York, California, Virginia, really convert those requirements to maybe more respiratory illness plans in general, building off of sort of what we've identified as high risk with aerosolized transmission.
So how is TAG helping businesses develop these plans or helping to convert their existing COVID plans?
Yeah, and you know, I think in the states that are creating some of these more well-defined requirements, we can talk about New York, for example. Here, you know, back at the beginning of May, New York signed in what they call their HERO Act, the Health and Essential Rights Act. And, you know, that's really based off of learnings that came out of the pandemic, but I think also trying to extend those learnings to other respiratory type illnesses. Influenza, you know, would be another one that we would think about. And so the New York Act is going to require employers to basically create a plan that addresses a variety of things. And the Department of Labor in New York is actually publishing a model plan that was supposed to be out around June 4th. It's not out yet, but it will provide different industry segments the ability to look at what the state says the minimum requirement should be and build their plans based off of that. And there are some amendments in the New York legislature right now, granting more time for employers to come into compliance with this, in part because the Department of Labor hasn't put these standards out yet. But in general, the things that will be required in these plans, I think, align well with what we've learned about COVID over the last, 18 months. It will include things around employee health screenings, face coverings, and personal protective equipment when that's required, you know, sections on hand hygiene, cleaning and disinfection, physical distancing, isolation and quarantine when that's warranted, engineering controls. This is an area where I think, you know, we at TAG have been looking quite a bit making recommendations to employers. You know, have you looked at your HVAC and air handling systems? Because those systems can obviously help improve indoor air quality and reduce the risk of transmission in an indoor environment. And then some other pieces that the New York plan touches on is, you know, making sure that you have supervisory employees that are there to actually monitor compliance with, you know, different aspects of the plan, and making sure that employees understand what's in the plan and get some training on that. You know, some specific requirements around the New York plan is that they have to be provided when people start work at a particular, at a location in English and that employee's primary language, and they have to have access to a written plan as well. So, you know, once the standard is issued, basically all New York employers are going to be required to implement an indoor our airborne infectious disease exposure prevention plan. And again, we're seeing sort of similar movement in some other states. California, being a very large state, they have their own emergency order that they've been amending over the last couple months that has a lot of these standards in place. So, you know, while it might not be required in any given location outside of, say, New York and some of these other states, some of the basic core elements of what these requirements are do really represent good risk control measures for employers to think about, especially in this time where we have a mix of vaccinated and unvaccinated people coming back to the workforce. And what does that mean? And, you know, how do you manage physical distancing? Have you looked at your HVAC systems? Things like that. That's what we're working with a lot of employers on to say, have you really addressed those key areas of risk? And you know, does that provide some assurance to employees coming back to work? I mean, there's definitely some anxiety in some settings, and understandably so. You know, people have been out of the office for a long period of time, and you know, as they come back, they want to know that that employers have looked at the things that really reduce and manage risk to the population, but also to them as individual workers.
Okay, so thank you, Ben. It really sounds like creating an infectious disease plan is a really great way to get ahead of any public health crises that may come in the future, and especially rather than simply trying to react as we so often had to do during COVID. So.
Right, no, absolutely. And I think that's a great point. You know, what a lot of these plans, I think, and what a lot of these states are trying to do is address the next pandemic or even a bad flu season. We do know that, you know, in the past, obviously people came to work while they were symptomatic. You know, I think in the US, we had sort of a badge of honor, sort of, come to work at all costs, even if you're sick. And I think that mentality and mindset may change as part of our new normal, you know, and if businesses have plans in place like this, and if they've communicated to their employees, especially about coming to work while symptomatic, or what do they need to do, and, you know, what are some testing resources that are available to them, you know, it should actually improve, you know, health in the workplace, you know, hopefully significantly over, you know, this next fall and winter and maybe into the foreseeable future. So there's definite benefits just outside of what we've learned with COVID. And hopefully some of these things are things that we can continue out and carry into the future.
Okay, that sounds great. So thank you again. And we hope that the viewers have learned a bit about infectious disease plans and why they are important. And we invite you to contact TAG for more information or assistance. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks.